I'm doing a new series today. I know it'll stay on there. It's called Awe and Wonder. And I'll tell you what it's about, but first I want to tell you what it's not about. It's not about miracles and signs and wonders and amazing things that God does. And we may talk about that at some point in future series. But really, it's about just having an awe and wonder simply about who God is. I think it was December when Mark spoke about worship. It was really good. Not that that should be a surprise when Mark speaks. But there's this one thing Mark said that's absolutely stuck with me. Would you continue to worship God if, from this day on, God performed no more signs and wonders in your life? And it's one of those questions that nags at you because you feel like you should say yes. But you know deep down in your heart, that may not be the case. So the purpose of this series is I want everyone, and I want it for myself, first of all, to have this awe and wonder at God simply for who he is, nothing else, regardless of what he does. Because just who God is incredible. It's mind-blowing if you actually think about it. I have the opportunity every day, every single moment, to connect with the God who created the universe, who still holds that universe together in his hand. And yet, while he does that, he still loves me with a love beyond what I can imagine. I should be dumbstruck by that. And yet so often I'm not. You can just become so blasé about it. Yeah, okay, God loves me. That's great. Now, what's for dinner? What time's the match on? What's the latest crazy thing Donald Trump's tweeted about? What's wrong with me? That's rhetorical. I do not want any answers to that one. So as I said, the purpose of this series, just want an awe and wonder at who God is. Because it'll be life-changing. So, sorry about this, but I'm going to have to talk about sex. I'm kind of joking. And, you know, we're early, on a bit early today, so it's kind of wake you up a bit. But let's be honest, the world is talking about sex all the time. And the Bible talks about it. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. And we can't and shouldn't avoid talking about it in the church. So I'm just going to look briefly at Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. You don't need to turn there because I'm not even reading the whole verse. I'm going to read a whole psalm out later to make up for it. So in the NIV, the first part of the verse says, Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. So it's just a really short bit, and I'm only actually interested in one word. Or it's one word in the original Hebrew. It's three there, made love to. Or depending on the version you have, it could be had relations with, or had sexual relations with, or was intimate with. And if you look at a really old version, like the King James, it'll say, just to use the word knew. Adam knew Eve. That's because the Hebrew word is yada. And what it best translated as would be to know completely and be completely known. And that's why they use that word knew in the traditional versions. And now we have more literal, Now more modern translations try and go for the meaning rather than the actual word and get some kind of balance between being word for word and being a paraphrase. And it's often a good thing, helps open up what the Bible was really saying when you maybe didn't understand the older meanings of words. But here, I don't think it is. Because by turning that word yada into just, you know, had sexual relations with, they're boiling this down into just the sexual act. It's like the Bible translators are almost reflecting modern society. All that matters is sex. They had sex, it led to a baby. That's all you need to know. And it's not. That word means, as I said, to know completely and be completely known. One Hebrew scholar said, the best way to describe it would be a mingling of the souls. Genesis 4 isn't just telling us Adam and Eve had sex, and then came the children. It's telling us they were in an intimate relationship with one another, of which sex was just one aspect. I mean, sex is designed by God to be that most intimate act, reserved, though, because it's part of marriage, that most intimate human relationship there is. So it says in Genesis 2:24, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Again, one flesh, We can think of that, oh, that just means sex. But it doesn't. It's so much more. It's about that intimacy of relationship. That person you know better than anyone else. When their joy is your joy and their pain is your pain, that mingling of the souls, it's so much more than just sex. And I'm talking about that because this word yada is used throughout much of the Bible, as well as there to talk about Adam and Eve's marriage relationship. It's also used to describe our relationship with God. And so we really do need a good understanding of the word. It's used throughout a very famous psalm, Psalm 139. So you can turn to this one if you like, because as I said before, I'm going to read the whole psalm. Because there's some great words in here, just about who God is, how God sees us. And of course, it's wonderful to read the Bible together. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So throughout that psalm, you see the words know and known. And they're all variations on that same Hebrew word, yada, to know completely and be completely known. God already knows you completely, but he wants us to know him better. He longs to speak to us all the time. As the psalm said, he's there with us every moment. There's nowhere we can go where we're away from him. He wants to speak to us, be with us all the time if we'd only be ready to listen, be aware of his presence. God wants to be your most intimate relationship. God wants your soul to mingle with his soul. God wants a relationship with you more intimate than your most intimate human relationships. When you first become a Christian, I think most of us get that glimpse of who God is and it wows us, and that's, oh yeah, I want to become a Christian. I want to give my life to this God I've found. He's amazing. And then it just kind of slowly over time becomes part of your everyday life. It turns your life around at first to meet with God. And over time you can kind of just take it for granted. It's just another part of your life. The same can happen just with our human relationships as well. And the key is keeping getting on knowing to know each other better, isn't it? If you want to keep a human relationship going with someone as strong as it ever was, You want to just keep getting to know them, who they are, because you never completely know someone. And it's exactly the same with God. We need to keep getting to know God better so we don't just become blasé about having God there in our lives, but it not meaning that much to us day to day. We need to keep getting to know God better to keep being amazed at who he is. Because there's so much more about God for us all to discover that would just knock our socks off. In John chapter 10, Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. And he talks about how the sheep know his voice and follow him. Now, the New Testament is written in Greek, whereas the Old Testament's in Hebrew. So it doesn't use that word, yada, specifically. Now, Jesus spoke another language, Aramaic, which is a bit like Hebrew. So he may have used the same word. We don't actually know. Could have done. But using whatever word he used for know, I've no doubt reading it, he's implying that same intimacy. To recognize someone's voice, it's something that can only come from having time with that person. See, when you really know someone's voice, it's when the kind of person you know so well that they can phone you up and say, "Hi, it's me," and you know exactly who it is straight away. That analogy doesn't work so well these days because everyone's got caller ID and they're all texting and using social media rather than calling anyway. But back in the old days, when you call someone's house and there's like more than one person lives there and you weren't sure who was going to answer, there's always that worry. Is that Bob? I'm not sure. I had a whole conversation once years ago as my dad when someone rang our house. They just said, "Hi, Dave," and started reeling off everything they wanted to say. So I just said, "Yeah, okay, thanks, bye." I think I passed on the message. But the sheep, they know the master's voice because of time with the master. And because of that, it becomes the voice they're listening out for. See, are we spending time with Jesus? And is his voice the one we are listening out for? There's so many voices clamoring for attention in this world today, more than ever, in like the information age and social media. You can hear instantly from almost anyone in the world, okay? And it's, you know, so overwhelming at times. You can just become addicted to these things and not be listening out for the one voice we should be listening out for. How can we expect an awe and wonder of who God is if we're not spending time listening to his voice and listening out to try and hear his voice? Because God's not silent. At any moment, he can and does speak. He can speak through the Bible, through other people, Christian and non-Christian, through creation, even through this sermon. God doesn't want you to walk out of here today without having heard him speak to you. He wants you to go out today a different person than you came in. Because being with him and being amongst his people here has changed you. And it's not just in church. God wants to speak to you after you go home today. And it's not even just Sunday. He wants to speak to you tomorrow, every day this week. He wants to make himself known to you. He wants to mingle souls with you. Now, it's interesting. Throughout the Old Testament, you often see it saying, God was with someone. God was with Moses. God was with Elijah. And it doesn't say that in the New Testament. It says, God is in you. It's that change. Since Jesus left the earth and sent us the Holy Spirit, it's a completely different ballgame. It's not just God is with us. God is actually lives within us. We actually have an incredible opportunity the likes of Moses and Elijah didn't have. That opportunity of God in us for that depth of relationship. And we can just so easily take it for granted. But it's an opportunity when you really realise how special that is to have God within you. The power we have available to us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. I should be using that. I should be taking advantage of that. Honestly, one example where that was used. And turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. It's a story. Paul and Silas, I'm not going to read all of it, so just to give you the background, Paul and Silas are out witnessing in the town, and people don't like it, and they end up getting thrown in prison. And so I'm going to read from verse 22. So the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. I mean, read that story. It's amazing, isn't it? Not the earthquake. I mean, that is impressive. Got to give that one to God. But what's really shocking is Paul and Silas, beaten with rods, in prison, and they're praying and worshipping. What's wrong with them? And I consider how I react to sometimes the smallest things. You can get angry and frustrated with God just because life isn't exactly how you want. Think, oh God, why have you allowed this? Why is this happening to me when things are going wrong? Here, it's not just why have you allowed this, God. They were there because of their faith. They could be easily be thinking, well, this is what I get for following God. And it's not. It's the complete opposite. They're worshipping and praying. And they weren't doing it because they had nothing better to do, I'm sure. And as well, they weren't doing it because it was part of some plan to get out, I'm sure. See, they worshipped because they knew God so well. They had a vision of God so clear that they were compelled to worship, even in prison. As Christians, we can look at the book of Acts and think, why don't we see miracles like that? I'd love to see miracles like that going on here, healing the sick. And we do sometimes, but maybe not to that degree. And we can sometimes wonder what we're doing wrong. As great as it be to see that, more than that though, certainly more important than that, I want that vision of God that Paul and Silas had. That joy that caused them to worship in that lowest of moments. Instead of getting upset over relatively small things as I can do. I was thinking about it. They weren't worshipping because they knew they would get out. It'd be easy to think that, think, well, we're just going to be in here for a while. God's going to set us free, so we can worship him. Because although there were miracles going on like this, like Peter had got out of prison earlier in the book of Acts, there were plenty of Christians who didn't escape. There were plenty of Christians at that time who were dying because of their faith, being martyred. And Paul and Silas could have just easily been another two in that situation. There were no guarantees for them in there. They knew they might never get out of that prison. They could just easily been beaten again and even killed there. So it wasn't because they were certain of that future, but they prayed and worshipped because they had that vision of God that was bigger and more real than what was happening on earth. They knew they were citizens of heaven, just passing through on this earth. And I want that vision of God they had. More than I want the miracles like the earthquake breaking the jail open, I want that vision of God. I want it for me, and I want it for all of you, because it can turn our lives around. If I had to sum Paul up in one sentence, it'd be in Philippians 1:21, where he says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Basically saying, for as long as I'm alive here, I'll serve Jesus. But if I die, even better, I get to go and live with him. In the verse before that, he talks about how he hopes to have the courage so that Christ is exalted in his body, whether by life or by death. Live or die, who cares as long as Christ is exalted? And yet here's me, so often be, yes, Jesus, you love me. You gave your life for me. And you sent your spirit so I can have relationship with you. But what have you done for me lately? Last week, Dave Latham spoke about 2018 being a year where God was going to be working things together for our good in OCF and opening a door that hasn't opened for a long time. And there have been others prophesying similar things. You know what? The best thing that can happen to you or me in 2018 It's not getting a good job or having good health or even seeing God perform amazing miracles in our lives. It's getting to know God so well that we're in constant awe of how amazing he is. It's being so close to God that whatever happens, however good or however bad, our first instinct is to worship him. Because nothing else matters in comparison. I just want to finish with a story. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, Mike talked about when he went to a Cayley. And he said, the people that having the most fun in that room were the people in the middle who were dancing. I'm not convinced at all with that. I've been to Cayley's. I've been in the middle dancing. It's not the most fun to be, place to be. It's the worst place to be. And many years ago, I had the misfortune to be invited to a Cayley for someone's birthday with my family. And so I went along because you have to. And there's this guy there, he's the, you know, the caller they have who goes to all the dances. And he's one of these really enthusiastic ones who thinks everyone should be up dancing. So he's going round the room, come on, get up and dance. And won't take no for an answer. One man actually looked like he was going to hit him at one point. Now, at that time, just a few weeks earlier, my mum had had an operation on her feet. And so she was going round with two crutches. And I was really jealous. Because he had an excuse not to dance that I didn't have. So she sat there with her crutches. And so the guy is not going to come and ask her to dance. And suddenly I had an idea. Because you can't see her legs under the table. It's just the crutches that said, well, she's not capable of getting up to have a dance. So if I had my arm in one of those crutches, I wouldn't be asked to dance. So every time it was time for a new dance and the chord was coming around, my arm was straight in one of my mum's crutches. And it worked, he never asked me once. And despite what Mike says about the most fun being out in the middle, I do not regret a thing. This is not a confession of I wish I'd done it differently. I'm glad I did it, I'd do it again. I personally suspect hell is a never-ending Cayley. So, but Mike was right about one thing. When he used it as an analogy for life with God, the only place to be is in the middle dancing. Living life with God. At the end of that night, I didn't walk out with a crutch. That would have been stupid. Because actually, well, first of all, it would have left my mum stranded. That would have been good. But actually, because there was nothing wrong with me, having the crutch would actually have made walking harder. See, if you've broken your leg, a crutch is very useful. If your legs are fine, carrying around this crutch, it just gets in the way. You're better off without it. Just makes life more awkward. I remember, and my dad's a few times told this story about how being at healing meetings in Liverpool many years ago and just seeing crutches and wheelchairs left at the front of the room afterwards because people didn't need them anymore. And it's amazing when God does things like that. But God's not just in the business of physical healing. He's into emotional and spiritual healing too. And I believe God's telling me this morning that he wants some people to leave emotional crutches at the front of this room and walk out without them. Because I believe there's the people in this room who want that intimacy with God I'm talking about, who want that closeness, but there's something holding you back. It could be past hurts. It could be all sorts of things, really, that just think, yeah, you're just a bit scared to take that step. For others, it may just be there's nothing holding you back, but you just other things capture your focus. And sometimes you're quite happy with that and you don't give God the attention that it deserves. And I've got my hand up for that one. So we're going to worship now, if the group would like to come up. And if when I've finished, you could go and get the kids out of Kids Church in Crest so they can come and worship with us. If I want a bigger vision of who God is, I need to be praising him just for who I already know he is. Because I know very little about who God actually is. He's so big, so amazing. I can only ever know a small fraction of it. But what fraction I do know is already mind-blowing. And he still wants to increase that vision. So I need to be praising him for who he is. So in the coming weeks, as we go through this series of On Awe and Wonder, I want a time of worship just to be a release of praise for who God is. Not just for now. Not just so we have a nice worship session now, but so we actually take that out into the week take that into our lives, be transformed by just, as we come and worship God for who he is, getting a bigger revelation of who he is. So if there is something holding you back, I invite you to leave that crutch at the front of the room. Either come to the front and someone will pray with you during this time of worship, or maybe just go and ask someone to pray with you. But don't let something hold you back from worshipping God with your whole heart. So as we worship with our whole heart, God wants to reveal himself to people here. He wants you to know him better. Don't miss out on that. Thanks.